The first reading for this second Sunday of Easter is taken from Acts chapter 5. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is taken from Revelation chapter 1. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from all who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who were before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest in his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patience, endurance that are in Jesus, who was on the island called Patmos, on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus, I was in the Spirit and the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, saying, "Write what you see in a book and send to the seven churches, in Ephesus and Samaria and to Pergamum and to Tyre and Sardis and to Philadelphia and Laodicea." Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like the flame of fire, and his feet were like the burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his foot as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where their disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my fingers into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. Begin with, let's just move back to the Old Testament for a moment. When they brought an animal to the temple to be sacrificed, it had to be perfect and without blemish. That meant no scars. Now, I have not raised animals, but I have been told it is very difficult to keep them so they never end up with an injury where they end up with some type of a scar. I'm guessing that's true. If I'm wrong, I'm going to blame you, Larry.
Okay.
All right. Excuse me. Scars, though, tell a story. All right. Movie Jaws. All right. Remember that great scene when they're in the boat? And you got Brody, Quint, and Hooper. And they're all into some adult beverages. Remember the scene, guys? And they sing this funny little song that was just great. And then they start showing off. Yes, see my scar here. And they're showing the different ones from shark bites. Until Quint wins. Because he shows his, because he was on board the USS Indianapolis when she went down. But each one of those scars that they were showing told a story. Now, I'm not going to show you all my scars, for which you're probably very thankful for, and I don't want to see yours. Okay? I also have no desire ever to see flat, fresh incisions. By the way, I'll tell you something. Never, ever eat daughter. Yes, don't eat your daughters. It's considered rather rude in most cultures. Never eat dinner with my daughter, who's the nurse. Because her and my son-in-law, who's a firefighter and an EMT, get talking about stuff. These two are the only ones that could talk about brain surgery while eating spaghetti and not flinch. All right? Never mind. My joke wasn't that bad. But scars tell a story. Scars prove that something actually happened. So what Jesus is going to do in this text, he's actually going to show his wounds to the disciple. But you know, it's kind of hard to believe, like from Thomas's perspective, that this had really happened, that Jesus was alive when he didn't see it himself. Now, we don't know if Thomas actually witnessed the crucifixion. There's kind of hints in Scripture that the other disciples may have been further off, viewing from quite a distance. But we do know that John, the disciple John, Mary, the mother of Christ, and Mary Magdalene were all there. John writes of it in his gospel. He says, "I'm only testifying about what I have actually seen." The disciples, when Jesus appears, this is a very discouraged group. Not only would I say discouraged, but an awful lot of hopelessness at that point. 2 years they've been following, 2 to 3 years, depending on how you date it. They've been following Jesus and wondering, has it been for anything? We believed he was the Messiah, but they thought they'd be free from Roman rule, and well, that didn't happen. They thought he finally set up his kingdom here. Even though several times Jesus said, "My kingdom's not of this world," they never seemed to have got that point. Kind of like us, sometimes we get confused even though the Bible tells us something. And they're in that upper room. And I love it for fear of the Jews. Now there's just a little sidebar note. Why would you get all the remaining disciples together and stick them in one room? Doesn't it make it easier to get them? See, maybe I think like a Detroiter, first thing you do is you split to the seven winds and say, "Good luck getting us all." But I guess when you're from Judea, you don't think about these things. So anyways, they're all huddled together. All their hope has been buried into that tomb. Now, let's look at it from the disciples' perspective. They'd seen the beatings. Some of them had seen the crucifixion. Some, if not all, saw him carrying the cross. Disciple John certainly saw him being nailed to that cross. They saw him take the spear in the side and then the tomb with the stone in front of it. Now, in their perspective, it's all over. Once again, movie time. Animal House. You remember that? Guys, what do you do? Watch the Kardashians all the time? All right, I'm going to humor you. There's a great scene in there when they're not allowed to go to graduation because they've been slightly mischievous. And they're all very disappointed in a room, and one of them says, "It's over." And then John Belushi gets up there and he says, "It's not over until I say it over. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?" One of the guys goes, "Says Germans? Let it go. He's on a roll. It's not over until I say it's over." Now, I do not want to equate Jesus with John Belushi, okay, because that kind of get me in trouble. But it's not over until he says it's over. Maybe at this point the disciples are looking at Jesus. Maybe he was a good man. Maybe he meant well, but he really pushed his luck maybe a little too far. But it's not over until Christ says it's over. So no matter how dark or how much despair or how much hopelessness we might feel, it's not over if God is in it. You know, the doctor may say it's over. The lawyer may say it's over. The banker may say it's over. The husband or wife may say this is over. But Scripture tells us with God, all things are possible. God does not have the word impossible in his dictionary. And it wasn't over. Even at Calvary, it wasn't over yet. Calvary was well known for crucifixions. Everybody knew exactly what took place up there. Luke writes, "When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things." So we got probably a pretty good idea now what the disciples were feeling in that upper room. Then Thomas isn't there. We don't know why Thomas isn't there. I don't know. Thomas always struck me as one of the very bold disciples. You know, he's the one, just before they went to Jerusalem the last time, Jesus says, "I'm going to Jerusalem and must suffer many things and die." And Thomas says, "Let us go, Lord, and let us die with you." So I don't know, maybe Thomas is the one going out there bringing food into the disciples. I don't know, doesn't matter at all. What matters is when he comes back and they say, "We've seen the Lord." Now, considering everything Thomas saw, was his reaction unreasonable? If you had seen all that, would you immediately believe he was risen? Thomas had to see the scars. Remember, scars tell a story. Thomas had to see the wounds themselves. Then a week later, Thomas is in the room and Jesus appears. And he says those great words, "Peace be with you." And I'm going to always hammer that home. When that word peace is used, that means the relationship between God and man is right. Then Jesus says to Thomas, "Touch the scars, Thomas. Stop doubting and believe. You know, put your finger in the nail. Put your hand in the side. Stop doubting and believe." When you see the hands and you see the side, you know what he has done for us. And Jesus says, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And see, that's us. We believe without having seen. Now, we can get into all the reasons of why we believe, and yes, it's because of faith. In today's world, Christianity is getting questioned. You know, with all the other, what is it, a quarter of the world is Muslim, a quarter of the world is Christian, and I forgot what the other half is. People are saying, how do you know which one's right? Yes, it's by faith, but I'll tell you what else it is. There's 11 men who went and died for something that they said they saw. If it was a lie, they wouldn't have, and I've said this many times before too. In Acts, excuse me, not Acts, Paul says that there were 500 witnesses who saw it, and all these people could and would die for that message. Life questions us, is our faith real? We hold on to it because of the evidence itself. Christ says, I did this. He came back, appeared to all these people. And yeah, I do sort of understand why Thomas wants to see the scars. I wonder if Thomas was from Missouri, the Show Me State. Sorry, Don. But I kind of understand that. And when he saw him, he immediately believed. Started the sermon talking about the Old Testament, the sacrifices had to be perfect. Could not have a blemish or a scar. Now, as this is complete, we now look at Christ's wounds and his scars and say our salvation is complete. He took upon our imperfections and made us perfect. Yeah. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.